Our first song this morning will be number 392. 392. After this song, we'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in His promises grand. Sing. Be happy, press on to the goal. Trust in Him who leads you. He will keep your soul at heart. Be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and sing in song. Sing and be happy. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth run and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, fast on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you. He will keep your soul at home. Be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise in song. Sing and be happy today.
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that we have to come together upon this first day of the week to conduct this service unto thee. Pray that each one that have come will come with the intention of being able to pleasing to you, to worship you and in spirit and in truth. We are thankful that we have the opportunity to come together this time due to the virus situation that we have. We know that in the past few weeks and months, we have not been able to come, but we just thankful that things have improved to the point that we can come here and congregate together and be able to have the fellowship and an encouragement of each other, being able to listen to the message and receiving it, and then being able to apply it to our lives. Continue to be with the leadership here and as they make the decision of how we're supposed to operate here. May it be everything be done according to your will. We pray, Father, also that you will continue to be with Brother Skippy as he ministers unto us. Give him the ability to be able to stand before us each week and present the message of the hour. Father, at this time, may your blessing also be upon the numerous ones that are mentioned here in need of physical prayer and as well as healing. May you look down upon each one of them and grant unto them the thing that will be necessary for their recovery. Whatever we can do to help encourage them by, especially by calling or even by sending letters to them to encourage them in a time of need. And may your blessing also be with the one in the medical field that they may be able to minister unto them the things that they need at this time. Father, may your blessing also be up with the bereaved of the Brother Don Jones, whom we knew here And may you bless the family and comfort them in a time of need. And Father, as we listen to the message this morning, may we listen to it attentively and being able to receive it and then applying it to our lives, helping us to be better servants of yours. This we do pray in Jesus' name and amen.
My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God, that sacred head for
What a privilege we have to be able to gather here this morning, to be able to commune with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to be able to do it as a family, as a redeemed people. This privilege is not just for the few of us, but Jesus came to that he might be able to save the world. We know as children of our Lord and Savior that we have this opportunity to be able to partake of his flesh and of the fruit of the vine, which is blood, this day. Not everybody has that opportunity because they don't know our Lord and Savior. We wish that all would. But as a redeemed people, knowing who our Savior is, we get to commune with him now this day, in this remembrance, this day, thanking him for dying for us, for being buried, and to be resurrected to new life, having victory over death, and our opportunity to be able to be with him in heaven one day. And all he asks us to do is remember him this day, as we should every day. But this day, we get to remember him in this way. So let's bow in prayer and thank him for this opportunity to be able to take of the Lord's Supper as we bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that we're able to commune with you this day. We thank you that we can partake of the bread, which represents your body. We thank you that as we partake of it, that remember the suffering that you did for us at the hands of very cruel, uncaring people. We thank you that you rose to salvation, that we might be able to be with you, for we look forward to the day that we can commune with you in heaven as redeemed people. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. O kind Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you so much for this cup of salvation that was offered to many for the remission of sins. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is with me. Then why doesn't he fix my problems? When you look at this particular text in John chapter 5, when you look at the background, we find that Jesus has now come up to the city of Canaan, from the city of Canaan to the city of Jerusalem. He's there to celebrate one of the religious feasts. And in Jerusalem, there were different gates to enter. And they were used for a variety of purposes. But one of these gates were called the Sheep Gate. And this was the entrance through which the sheep they were using for sacrifice. They would enter through this gate. But it's interesting to note that as Jesus, the Lamb of God, would take away the sins of the whole world, Jesus entered through the same gate. Now, once he was inside the city, he comes to the pool of Bethesda. There lying all around the pool are sick and paralyzed people. And they have come to this spot because there was a legion that an angel would occasionally come up and stir the water of the pool, and the first one to get into the water would be healed. But this was just superstition. So Jesus moves into the midst of this group, but we notice that he does not fix every problem he encountered that day. Instead, as he moves among the blind and the lame, he is drawn to one particular man who had been ill for 38 years. It's puzzling why, out of all of these very needed people, that Jesus would choose to fix one individual. But that is exactly what happened. It could have been that Jesus knew that this man had been lying there for 38 years. It could have been other reasons. But one thing that we do know is that it was not because the man was asking for Jesus' help. He didn't even know who Jesus was. And so Jesus encounters this man. And then Jesus asked him a very strange question. Do you want to be made whole? I mean, if a man was starving, would you say, would you like some food? And so this man paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want me to fix your problem? And so the first thing this morning I suggest to you is that before you can get your life fixed, you must decide that you actually want it. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now notice, for some reason again, Jesus selected this man. A multitude of needy people were there. Christ could have healed all of them, but not a single one sought him because their eyes were fixed on the water, expecting it to be trouble. They were so taken up with their own chosen way that the true way was neglected. Some of us are like this today. Some wait for a more convenient season to obey him. Some wait for dreams and visions and signs and wonders and waiting for a meeting or waiting for a revival or waiting for a particular feeling. But the question that was asked him and you and I today is, do you want to be made whole? Jesus would often ask questions for the simple purpose of making us think. It's a lot of like a question parents often ask their children, do you want a spanking? And so over the past 38 years, this man had been a beggar. So he lived off of the donations of others. If he were healed, then he would lose. He would lose those donations. He would lose the pity of others. If this man was healed, he would then have to be responsible for himself. He would have to find work, and it would be a whole new world for him. It would be the equivalent today of offering this to a person who would live on welfare if they're willing to give it up in order to get well. Now there would be risk. Now he would be responsible for himself. I'm here to tell you this morning that I see people in our community like this every day. Too many people who feel that they are entitled. They think that they deserve something without doing anything to get it. Their lives are dysfunctional, but they have never considered that God might have something different for them. They don't know that there is something else more to life because they have been satisfied with just getting by. But then secondly, if we do want to have our problems fixed, then we must decide to stop making excuses. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." See, you got to learn to take responsibility. So the sick man said, "I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, somebody else comes along. The one who needs help can't get it. And it's always been that way all my life." Did you see it? Did you see it? He completely avoids the question. Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" He began to offer all of these excuses. He doesn't say whether or not he wants to be whole or he wants to be fixed. He just complains. Tell us how unfortunate he is. Has it ever occurred to you that there are some people who just really enjoy complaining? In today's term, we would say that he sees himself as a victim. When a person always sees themselves as a victim of society, as a victim of their upbringing, then they convince themselves that everything that happens to them is somebody else's fault. It has been their wife's fault, or it's the husband's fault, or it's the parents' fault, or it's the society's fault, everybody else's fault. It's hard to change someone who does not see an issue with their own actions, who's always blaming somebody else, always blaming something that has happened in their lives. But then, third thing I suggest is that we must decide whether we are ready to be fixed. Look at verse 89. In verse 89, "And Jesus says unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." Now understand, when this man was healed, he was not healed by water. Jesus says, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Jesus can heal you any way that he see fit. And so when you look at this bed, this was not a full frame bed, but it was a bed mat. It was just like a mat. And so obviously the man had a choice. Get up and follow Jesus, or continue to lie there. It's a choice all of us have this morning. I have a choice, and you have that choice. Do you want Jesus to fix the part of your life where you have been hurt? Or is it easier to simply hold on to that hurt? When Jesus says, take up your bed, he is telling him all and all of us who truly want our lives to be fixed, if we truly want to see change, then don't make any provisions to go back. I'm suggesting to you, burn your bridges. Burn your bridges of grudges. Burn your bridges of unforgiveness. Burn your bridges of hurt. Burn your bridges of bitterness and anger. Burn your bridges. And so we got to understand that if you want him to fix, you want to be fixed, you got to let go. And you got to have to learn to let God handle your situations. But then in verse 14, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you. Did you see that? He sees sin, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. If you are not obeying God and doing what God says, you need to stop it. Because something worse may happen to you. Look what he says. Because this man is a lot like us. Because if you want to get well, if you want things to get better in your life, then you play a part in the solution. This man is a lot like us, or we a lot like him. We make mistakes. We doubt God. We really have no reason to think that Jesus was saying that the sin was the cause of his illness. It can be, but I believe this morning that Jesus was warning him that the results of sin in our lives and in his lives is always worse than the results of any physical illness. What are you saying? Because physical problems are temporary, but spiritual problems have eternal consequences. And so if you want your life to be fixed, I suggest to you this morning, you got to go to the fixer. Several things that we have to do if you want God to fix your life. Number one, identify what it is that needs to be fixed. The first step in gaining something is to want it. We must determine what we really want. And we must say, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength. Philippians 4 and verse 13. If you want God to fix your life, you got to learn to stretch yourself. You see, some of us are in a rut. We got to learn how to stretch ourselves. There comes a time when we have to stretch ourselves. We have to do something. You see, Jesus wanted to do more than just fix his physical body. He was also concerned about his spiritual health. And so as I began to close, I just want to give you a few truths this morning for you to think about. The first truth I want to give you is that if you want to be fixed, you got to realize that he is able. You got to realize that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. In fact, he is the only one who is able to do it. But then number two, if you want to be fixed, then you must realize that he is more willing to fix your life than you think. Put your faith and trust in Almighty God. And then the third thing, if you truly want to be fixed, then you got to remember that you play a part in the solution. God will not heal anyone who doesn't want to be healed. God will not fix your problems in your life without your participation. You have a part in this. God says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be fixed? I can fix you. But you got to be wanting to be fixed. You don't want to be fixed, I can't help you. And so we got to understand, what is your excuse? What is yours? Have you been crippled from the past? If so, do you want to continue to hold on to it? It's a choice. It's a choice of being a victor or a victim. It's a choice of being defeated all of your life, but becoming the defeater. God can fix it. God can fix any problem that you want him to fix, but you got to trust him. But let me tell you, the question that we said before, if God cares about me, if God loves, why don't he fix my problem? God can, but God can fix problem the way he want to fix your problem. Sometimes in life, God will remove some things out of your life. But sometimes in your life, just like Paul, when Paul had a thorn in the flesh, he prayed the Lord to remove it, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to give you the strength to make it through what you're going through. And sometimes in life, God might not remove the obstacle, but he'll give us strength to make it through whatever we're going through. And so the question to you today, do you want to be made whole? If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God can fix it for you. God fixed it a long time ago. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God fixed it when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. Jesus died so that we can live. And now, if you want your problems, if you want God to fix it, the first thing you got to do, you got to obey him. How do you obey him? You heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Go in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But then you got to live faithfully. As you're going through life, life is not always going to treat you fair. There's going to be some ups, and there's going to be some downs. But know this, when you're on the Lord's side, God can help you to make it through. If you're here and a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, maybe you're holding on to stuff. Let it go. Turn it over to God and let God handle it. Because if you try to handle it, you're going to mess up. But let God handle it. You trust God. He might not fix it today, but God is an on-time God. He may not come when you want him to, but understand, he's always on time. Let us stand.